Welcome to our first year-end episode of Marketplace Kingdom, the podcast from Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. I'm DJ Swonker, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Heisinger. Over the last 10 months, our ongoing purpose has been to provide biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. We presented thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who shared their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian and demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own personal and professional circles of influence. We've shared ideas that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. We've been humbled as we've talked with many of you and watched as thousands have downloaded and shared these podcasts with friends, reaching listeners in some 60 nations. So wherever you are, anywhere in the world, we're glad you're with us. With this being our final episode of 2016, we wanted to wrap up the year by inviting you to eavesdrop on a recent conversation between Dave and I about what the Lord has been doing, where we sense Him leading, and how you can become more intimately involved. We're amazed, encouraged, and blessed beyond anything we expected or imagined. So let's get started. Well, Dave, here we are, end of 2016, and we've been doing this podcast, carrying on these conversations about the kingdom and the kingdom in the streets since the 7th of February.
Yeah, it's been humbling to see how this message doesn't belong to you or I, but it's a message of the kingdom.
Yeah. How have you changed? I'm just curious, how has this changed you and changed your vision over the course of the last 10 plus months?
Enhanced is a good word instead of perhaps changed. But changed as well, enhanced in this way. I've been passionate about the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States, realizing that it needs to move beyond consumerism and the effects of evangelicalism that have caused the church to be self-focused and Holy Spirit-less. And what I think has happened in the last 10 months is I've become even more passionate about a mobilized church and also more confident that the church in the United States is going to be okay and that revival is happening and is coming and that the church is ready to step out of its pews and it is ready to listen to the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit of God lead it and guide it. And so my passion is just as intense, but my encouragement and readiness for what's coming next. Personally, in setting vision for 2017 in the jobs that I have seen a renewed excitement where we are willing and ready to take risks. And I don't know that I was willing and ready to take risks at the beginning of 2016. I was feeling like we just needed to stand strong and secure our structure. But here at the beginning of 2017, I'm saying now is the time to press forward, push beyond, and to take some faith risks and watch what God will do. So that's what's happened to me in the last 10 months, and these podcasts have been a big part of that. How about you, Don?
I think I have been startled at how quickly this thing went beyond anything we initially asked or imagined.
Absolutely.
You know, we can throw out numbers, and everybody has their own statistics. But those numbers mean something when you consider the message that's going forth and the impact that we're hearing about. We had the privilege of sitting down with one brother here in Grand Rapids who was visiting from his nation in Africa. An Islamic nation, a self-described Islamic republic. And he had caught the vision for impacting all the different sectors of culture in his own country, Christianly. And as a result of that, word started getting around, and he was invited to come and speak on leadership and ethics. And given the freedom in his Islamic nation, given the freedom to do so from a biblical perspective. And he was invited to do that presentation for the members of his National Assembly in the capital, the members of parliament. And the message that he brought, the seminar that he brought, was so well received that he was invited back to come and present additional material a second time. This is huge, this kind of impact. And it's not something that we set out to do.
No.
In fact, when we connected with him, he had already started thinking about this stuff. And what he told me in conversation was, when I heard what you guys were saying and doing, it put a framework around what we were sensing the Spirit of God calling us to do. As we prayed for our nation, this was the framework that he was giving us, but we just didn't put it in the terms that you do. And now we have a framework. So that's just amazing to me, to be hearing these stories.
That's a story of how a grassroots movement begins.
Mm-hmm.
It starts in an office. Right? From a courageous man trying to pastor in a Muslim country. And when he goes home, carries the courage of the message. And God builds bridges for that man to bring that message into the marketplace in his own country. And only God can do that.
Yeah.
God works with normal, healthy, everyday people. He doesn't have to work through kings. Jesus came to this earth. He didn't go to the palace. He went to the manger. He didn't speak to Herod. He spoke to the shepherds and the servants. And they went and they told everyone what they had seen. And God's going to raise up, and is doing that through this, everyday people. There's another story too, Don. Tell us a little bit of that story.
Well, you know, I can tell the story without, at this point, attaching names and places.
We have to protect people.
There's another story coming out of the Middle East that you're referring to. There's a Middle Eastern country where a brother who is a church planter in another Islamic republic connected with us and has been following our podcasts, has downloaded them, and is sharing them as MP3s. it's difficult in some closed countries to get our stuff. And people are using what are called proxy servers. They're actually accessing us through the dark web. I can see that that is happening on the back office software.
Wow.
That people are accessing us through the dark web and are downloading our material and then are able to physically share it person to person. This person in the Middle East has downloaded our material, our written stuff, and our podcasts, and is sharing it, and actually has people translating some of our written materials into their languages so that they can be shared with folks across the world who are native speakers of those languages. And that's opening up a community of 8 to 10 million people around the globe who don't speak English and who don't read English. They're even talking about translating the podcasts themselves and what that would entail.
Fantastic.
There's a hunger for this kingdom message in other countries that we know of. We're being accessed in 15 Islamic republics. We're being accessed in a total of 57 nations. And this started off with a handful of prayer people who had attended a seminar or something.
Wow. That's humbling. The courageous Christian heroes who are standing for Christ in the midst of rejection and personal harm, right, to them and their families.
Yeah.
And the message is the same. And yet they will take the risk and they will translate what God's given them through these podcasts, even at personal risk, because mobilizing the body of Jesus Christ needs to happen. It needs to happen.
And it's a different message. It's not just a message of personal salvation. It's a message of transforming communities, of the presence of God and the power of God falling in cities, on nations.
It changes the expectation of Christians. When they think of just salvation, which is phenomenal, or as the only thing that they are about, then that's one thing. But to think of the transforming power and movement of the kingdom of heaven, shifting a whole nation just by the presence of Christ in God's people, that shifts your perspective. And enables people to gird up their loins, as it says in 1 Peter 1:13, and to be alert and sober and set their hope fully on the grace that is brought to them when Jesus Christ is revealed. It is so encouraging to them that the presence of Christ changes, reshapes their city, their governments, all around them. That the New Testament is teaching us that the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is here, enables even the person in a Muslim country to have hope that the kingdom of God is greater than that which oppresses them.
Yes. One of the things that really has impacted me as we've gone forward with this is not just these kinds of stories, but on the other side of the coin, the one-on-one, life-on-life calling of kingdom influence. You know, we've said several times during the course of our calls and the course of our written communications that everybody is an influencer. Unless you're hiding in a cave somewhere, you have people that you influence one way or another. And one of the challenges of the Church Beyond the Walls conversations that take place is people think, well, I'm not an influencer. I'm not a leader. And I don't want to be. I just have a life that I live. My family, my friends. And they don't, for some reason, see the connection there because they haven't been taught to see the connection there. They haven't been released into being that kind of influencer. I think of one fella who we're going to have on as a guest here shortly, who is a trained social worker and was involved for years with Salvation Army doing one-on-one, life-on-life type of activities with people who were alcoholics, people who were broken. He's now professionally involved in providing software to social service agencies around the country. And the majority of his hardcore impact comes from being a motorcyclist and hanging out with other guys who are passionate about riding.
Mm.
And he's a motorcycle mechanic and he's a motorcycle dealer. And his impact is on guys that he gets his life tangled up with.
Mm.
Just talking with him, riding with him, sharing Christ with them.
Mm-hmm.
The program-oriented church does not view that as ministry, mm-hmm. or has not, up to this point, viewed that as ministry.
No.
And yet, those circles of influence are perhaps the most potent places where the kingdom of God gets shared.
There's a wonderful movement happening, Don, in organizations who allow for everyday people to step into their authority and power given them in the name of Jesus and by the working of the Holy Spirit in their worlds. One of the organizations that is tapping into that movement is the Alpha Course. The Alpha Course in the United States, since the late 90s, was a program of the institutional church in the United States, that a church would sponsor a 10-week Alpha Course. It's a walk through the basics of Christianity, and it shows a very balanced picture of the Trinity and the Word and the call to faith and the call to live out Christianity and surrender to the Holy Spirit. But the courses were done in churches, and the Lord led those wise people in the UK and who were developing the course to mobilize people in the pews. And so they went open source. All of their resources are free and accessible online. They redid their presentations. They moved them from 40 to 50 minutes long down to 20 minutes. They changed up their style, and they now have formats that are available for people to take into different situations in their spheres of influence. One group of churches in the Twin Cities here had four churches, and they did four typical alphas with pulling people into the church, and the staff of the church administrated the course. And then they had five or six different courses that went into homes. One went into a coffee shop, one went into a workplace, one went into a school, and they did it at lunchtime, early morning, in the evening at home, and they presented the course with everyday people outside of the walls of the church. They had 270 people go through all their different courses with 28 different groups, and 50% of those people came to a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ. Who did that? Who is the hero in this? The hero is always Christ, but what human heroes did God use? Everyday people going out of the walls of the church, using a tool that has now been redesigned to mobilize the church into the marketplace. And this message is having an impact. And the message is that everyday people now have tools that they can use in their spheres of influence, and God will use them in His presence to transform a workplace, to transform a school, to transform a neighborhood, not just an individual, but a whole city, a whole region, because the presence of God is this presence of glory, of healing, of transformation.
What has been the impact of that that you've seen practically?
Well, two things. The church itself, up until it mobilized people to move out of their pews, when they were in an attraction model and inviting people into Alpha courses at their churches, people had a hard time inviting friends and had a hard time inviting co-workers and neighbors and family members. And they did as best they could. But when the Alpha program started to make it possible for people to take the Alpha course out and into their homes, into their workplaces, into the schools, and they redesigned their format, all of a sudden, the people had no problem inviting their friends. They had no problem being evangelists because they knew that they were taking the presence of God into the workplace. They weren't just inviting people from the workplace into the church. They were taking the very presence of the living God into their workplaces. And God raised new kinds of heroes up. And people who wouldn't even talk to their neighbors because they couldn't get their neighbors to come to church, all of a sudden had a different avenue they could talk to their neighbors. And so the people started to take responsibility at a new level. And that hasn't happened in a long time, or if ever.
So not only did it change the lives of the people who were drawn into the Alpha course, but it changed the lives and the outlook of the people who were doing the outreach.
Yes, that's exactly the case. There's another example, and this one is in West Michigan. This is an organization that was started in the church, and it was ministering to teenage girls who were either pregnant or had a child. And the ministry was to teach these young women, even under 18, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old girls, how to care for children or how to deal with pregnancy or how to keep a baby or how to place it in adoption. And it was within the church, and for years they would invite people into the church, and volunteers would work with kids coming into the church. Something happened to this group, and they realized that they needed to break beyond the church walls. And they prayed about it, and they prayed and they for a couple of years, and this year the Lord gave them a home outside of the church walls. And the ministry is expanding and growing so quickly. It's not professional. People don't get paid to do this. Now they're, though, mobilizing people at a whole new level to invite these girls into their home and to provide for their lives at a different setting, not just once a week. Now there's a whole new level of ownership. Now there's a whole new level of responsibility. Now there's a whole new level of prayer, as praying people are behind them and standing behind them. There's a whole new level of people investing in this organization because they realized that they needed to break beyond the walls of the church. And everyday people needed to take a risk, because where God is present, they can be completely assured and confident that God goes before them. That's another example of what happens when the institutional church starts to mobilize people out of its doors. Another story, a mailman walks his route for years here in Minnesota, and he invites people to church, and he starts to get discouraged over the years because nobody really ever comes to church that he invites, right? And he hears the message that he is a representative of the kingdom of God, and that he needs to seek how to bring transformation into the lives of people in his spheres of influence. And so he begins to pray while he walks on his route. And that's all where he starts. And so his route becomes a prayer walk or a prayer driving if he's doing mailboxes. He walks, he drives, and he prays. And instead of just bringing people into the church, which he has, a half a dozen people, which is more than he did for 15 years previous, he is seeing, as he's praying for people, that their lives are being transformed. He's seen some healing. He's seen some emotional people transformed. He's seen lives touched. He went to the hospital to visit someone that is just on his route, prayed over them, and they were able to go home the next day. He's become a pastor, a representative of the kingdom of God for the transformation of lives, now on his mail route. And it was because of this message. He can't wait to see what God would do. Now, there's some consequences. He has suffered physically with some issues in his body that came at him all of a sudden and unexpectedly. And so he couldn't get on his route. And as we prayed, we realized that the enemy just did not want him on the route. And so we fought the enemy in those prayer times. And it sped up his recovery twofold. And he got back on the route much quicker than the doctors expected.
Well, Dave, there are a couple of things that I'm inclined to ask about and think about at this point. Here we are 10 months in, and all this stuff is happening. We've had online conversations that are available for download in the podcasts with folks who are authors, leaders, influencers, folks like Ron Jimerson, who are shifting the face of neighborhoods.
Yep.
One life at a time by leading from the ground up. Other folks like Norman Christopher, who are impacting corporate leaders and government officials and university students. People like Carol Brown, who was our last guest, who began a writing career as a result of the onset of multiple sclerosis and is able to reach out and touch other folks who are facing major life challenges with the message that you can, in the midst of your wilderness, find and be guided by the presence of God. Folks like our friend Jamie, who are impacting individuals on a motorcycle ride, or old friends who are struggling with life changes and challenges like alcoholism and divorce. The stories keep coming in about what it means to be the kingdom in the streets. You used a term with regard to the Alpha Course, the term open source, and that's a term that we use in our conversations a lot. You know, it's a software term. You know, you throw out a software program and you give the code that makes it work, and then people are free to take that code and own it and put their stamp on it and adapt it with the idea that when they make adaptations and improvements or have unique applications of it, they release it back into the wild, as it were, so that others can benefit from those efforts and the way it has grown and been utilized. The open source community is a global learning community. And we've talked about taking this kingdom message and the framework and making it open source. And as we look forward into 2017, talk a little bit about how you see that with the kingdom message. One of the conversations that I've had ongoing with people in three different countries, each of which has its own unique culture and set of challenges, each of those countries, they're all different. One of the things that has been central to the conversations I've been having with them is about their excitement over the idea of a kingdom framework that looks at these seven areas of culture that mold and shape the mind and heart of a society. And the idea that they can network with believers in other parts of the world and get ideas on how to apply this framework practically in unique ways specifically adapted to their culture, and take the idea, own it, and run with it. They're excited by the idea. They're excited by a movement that doesn't come in and try and impose a franchise on them.
Yes.
But that equips and raises up people to take leadership right where they are,
mm-hmm.
and develop it.
There's three levels, Don, that I am personally looking forward to and anticipating in 2017 that correlate with what you're saying. And just let me say the three levels without going into detail, and maybe you can talk about these three levels. First level that I'm excited about personally is the transformation of the church from me-centered and consumer and attraction-based, programmatic-centered to mobilization and community transformation. And that's one piece. The second piece is the raising up of individuals in all the different spheres of society so that the hero for the kingdom of God becomes the teacher, the janitor at a school who sponsors the young life group to meet in the school, right? Or because he feels that he can minister to the advancement of God's kingdom. Or the hero becomes the stay-at-home parent who sets up a club in their neighborhood to create an avenue where they can go fishing with their buddies every Wednesday, etc. The hero becomes the everyday people who experience the vision of advancing God's kingdom. That's two. Three is the influence on whole nations. So already we're seeing that. And I believe that as the seven spheres of influence are touched by the church sending and individuals engaging across the globe, we are going to see whole nations transformed. And I have some stories on that number three out of Kenya, and excited to watch what happens in Kenya in 2017 as friends of our message have caught the vision, and it has changed their strategies for advancing God's kingdom in their region of Kenya. And so it's those three levels, those three areas, the church, the individual, and the whole nation that will be transformed because of this kingdom message. And not only do you and I, Don, have the call to not shrink back, we're not called to be silent and shrink back. You and I are called to take a risk and advance and go forward. And we don't know what that looks like. But Don, when we're talking about whole nations across the globe experiencing the transforming power of God and looking different at the end of 2017 than they do in January 1, I will take that risk. I will go forward. I will believe that God is moving. And we need the help of our listeners. We need the financial help. We need the prayer help. We need the volunteer help. There are countries in the Asian region of our globe that are inviting us to come and help them. There are leaders in countries that are asking us to come in both free countries and in countries that are Muslim. And we need finances. We need people to step up and say, I will invest in the transformation of whole countries by the kingdom of God. We've been invited to come to Germany. We've been invited as well to go into Africa in a couple different countries, one closed and one open. We've been invited into Asia, closed and open. And we've invited into some places in the United States. But it's so interesting that the invitations are coming from the globe, and the people down the street from us are apprehensive. And I think in the United States, there are reasons for that. And Don, I'm thinking you've got some ideas about why the prophets in their own town find the least amount of faith. Why is that?
Well, boy, that's fodder for, a couple of podcasts. When I first became a Christian, back in the days when dinosaurs ruled the earth.
Yes. Depending on which scientific background you stand on, right?
Yes. Back in the early 70s when I first came to Christ.
Yes. Did they have electricity in the United States?
They did, but we had to walk across the room to change stations on the television.
we had to feed the gerbils.
When I first became a Christian, one of the writers who was very influential in my own thinking and my own discipleship development was Francis Schaeffer. And Schaeffer talked in the 70s about the challenge that was facing Christianity, particularly the evangelical church and the Reformed churches. The challenge to, in the U.S., not wrap their message in the American flag, but to understand that the Christian faith, the message of the kingdom of God, was something that stood prophetically, not in judgment necessarily, but in a proclamation of something radically different, something radically other, as over against any culture, and that American Christians tended to be silent on a lot of the pieces of what it meant to be Christian, and they tended to be silent on a lot of the pieces of what it meant to proclaim and live the kingdom of God, because that silence bought them comfort. And I don't think things have changed all that much.
Well, is it possible that we've even loved the comfort so much that we've built our theologies and our institutions to control the comfort? I believe that we have become so comfortable that we have misread Scripture and we have gone to great pains to control our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and to redesign in evangelical Christianity in the United States, the understanding of the gospel, so that we think that all we're doing is giving the message of the gospel when actually Christ came to bring the message of the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom message makes us uncomfortable. So I see the church wanting to fight that which brings it out of its comfort zone. And what's happened to you, Don, is a passionate call from the Spirit of God to move beyond your comfort zone, to move beyond just the message of the gospel, and to move toward the transforming power of the kingdom of God. Is that right?
Yes. And an understanding that all of this, the proclamation of the kingdom, the living of Christ's reign in power and compassion here and now, is all a passion for experiencing and living and moving and having our very being in the presence of God. Every time I get a chance to teach, every time I get a chance to expand on what this all means, I end up circling back to the presence of God and intimacy with God.
Yes, very good.
Because that intimacy with Him and that being saturated by the presence,
yes,
is what really brings about transformation in my own life.
Yes, yes.
And what enables me to go out and have any kind of positive impact on anybody. And when it comes right down to it, you know, we can talk about strategic plans, and I do that. You know, that's one of the things I do when I do coaching with people, is I look at vision, strategy, passion, and action. Those are the four key points of the process that I employ. But when it comes right down to it, your real impact doesn't come from wanting to have an impact. It comes from being who you're designed to be. And it just kind of naturally occurs. That's where the real shift takes place. When people realize that they have a kingdom design that's integrally and inseparably related to the level of intimacy with God that they're willing and hungry to experience.
That's very good.
In the New Testament, it talks about Peter and John walking down the street, and it says that people were healed when their shadow passed over them. They didn't go on a healing tour, and that word in the Greek is a real interesting word, because it really, it's not like, you know, shadow as we understand it, where light shines on something and the light's blocked by the person and then there's this dark space where the light doesn't get. It's not that kind of shadow. It's a word that means outshadowing or emanating from. There was this presence that emanated from them. They carried the presence of God. I remember hearing about a kid one time that was asked to define what she thought a Christian was. And she said, well, I guess it's somebody who has Jesus living inside them, but he's so big that he hangs out all over. And we are Jesus with skin on. But he's so big, he hangs out all over. So when we go about the business of the day-to-day details and the rhythm of our life, doing what it is we're designed to do as a janitor or a cop or a software engineer, and we're experiencing and walking in that intimacy and presence of God, everything about us saturated in His presence, then the people that we brush up against, the territories where we are called to take up residence, vocationally, where our home is, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our circles of friends, that presence that's carried by us brushes up against them if we don't make conscious efforts to box it in. But we have to understand that what we're going to be called to do and what we're going to be called to be is going to make us into something that is radically different from what the world usually sees. And I think there's a movement of people who are starting to realize this. It's not a new message.
It's not a new message. It's a message that has been skewed and manipulated, but it is given to us in the Word of God. Don, there is a group of business men and women in Kenya. They have residents in both Nairobi and an influential hub of transportation and communication outside of Nairobi. This group of men and women are on fire Christians. And they looked at this town and they thought, let's saturate the town with the gospel. And they worked hard and for years preaching in the market square, planting a church, planting 33 different churches and villages all around this town. A shift started to happen when they said, our call is to be more than just bringing people into salvation. When the presence of Jesus Christ is here, things need to look different. And so they began to mobilize widows. In Kenya, there's, for reasons that I won't go into, there's just many widows. And they began to teach them how to start businesses and to take care of themselves and their families and to earn living and work for each other and hire others. And now they're watching widows be self-sustaining in significant ways. They began to influence the hospital. And now Christians are running the local hospital and doing it differently and giving away and moving and teaching people how to be healthy and going into the schools and going into homes. They began to take the kingdom of God into business. And now this group of people have purchased prime land. They've built a Kenyan-style Walmart. They've built a major hotel. They've built a whole utility for clean water for the whole region. They have improved the roadways. It's not the government doing these things, Don. It's this group of kingdom-minded Christians. And it is changing the nature of that region. And it's shifting the kind of governmental leadership. The governmental leaders in Nairobi are turning their faces toward this region. Why is there more employment? Why are the widows engaged and not suffering and siphoning off of the government? Why are they now giving back? Why are the streets better? The city look cleaner? And why is commerce stronger? Why are the schools better? And why do the schools have sufficient funds to provide for the students? Why are people moving into this region at a high rate? Why is the economic status of the region taking steps higher? Why is China beginning to do trade in this region at a higher level and talking to the government about that region? You know why? The kingdom of God. People moving in the marketplace. The church mobilized, individuals, ambassadors.
Yes.
The presence of the kingdom of Jesus Christ transforming not just for salvation, but a whole region experiencing the greatness of Jesus Christ. That needs to happen in America. Churches need to look differently at their role and their reason for existence. There are tools. We mentioned one, the Alpha Course, a way to mobilize everyday people. But it's the identity of the people in the congregation, not just what they do, but who they are, that needs to be paid attention to. And those people need to be mobilized. It's miraculous, Don, what's happening. And you know, we're going to learn from the globe. We're going to learn from nations all around us. And finally, maybe we'll catch on here in America, right? And we'll see the transforming work of Christ here. But you know what? I want to go where the dogs will hunt, right? I want to be where men and women are willing to stand up and say, yes, I want to engage in the kingdom of God. And if that is in Kenya, man, let's mobilize people in Kenya. If that is in the Middle East or in Southeast Asia, well, then let's do that. Let's mobilize the kingdom of God in those regions. Don, these stories that I'm telling, the Kenyan story is a story of the influence of the Seven Mountain message. It just changed their strategies at a whole new level. They've had a remarkable year, and they just took the message and they made it happen. The Twin Cities Alpha Board and Alpha USA changed through the messages of the Seven Mountains and the need to become open source. God used it to influence the nations. Alpha changed a national strategy based on Seven Mountain principles and open source. The whole strategy changed. The influence is the influence.
One of the things that we want to see happen in the next year, 2017, with our efforts, and it relates directly to what you're saying. The whole idea of open source is that people are free to take it and own it, to take a concept and own it. And if they do that without giving credit, so they do it without giving credit.
It doesn't matter. That's what open source is.
Yeah. There's umpteen versions of the Linux-based operating system that people use on their computers. Debian, Ubuntu, it has all sorts of different versions. Some of them, the people have put their tweaks in, and they market them, and you have to pay to get that version. The source code is free and open, but that particular version of it, that's a build-out of that source code, that one, people charge for. It doesn't matter. You know, ideally, you're supposed to credit back to the original source code. But if somebody doesn't do it, I mean, there's not a law or a cop running around out there that's going to say, oh, you didn't give credit. That's just not the way it works in open source. And Jesus healed a bunch of people and, healed 10 people with leprosy, and 9 of them went away and didn't say anything about it. They just took the healing and ran. That doesn't mean they all got their leprosy back.
Right.
I think one of the key points about where we want to go next year is the development and release of more open source materials that provide a kingdom framework, just like the Alpha course has done. Doing that with some specific kingdom framework materials and getting them out into the hands of people so that they can in turn build them out and resource them back to us. We can't do this alone, and we're not called to. We want to be able to network people together in Minnesota and in Michigan and Colorado and Ontario and Alberta, in British Columbia and in Nova Scotia, in West Africa, in the Middle East, in the Philippines, in China. This is going to look different in all kinds of different places, and we need to hear from each other. But we can also provide a way for three people in an office at an insurance company, or three cops who work different beats and different shifts in the same department, to link together and provide a micro expression of the kingdom of God in their particular sphere of influence, praying and covering their particular enterprise to be impacted by the kingdom of God, and having them be an expression of what it means to be a Christian cop or a Christian in the financial services industry. I remember before this whole process even started, I had been approached by an individual who was an agent with Homeland Security, and he asked me if I would be willing to privately, confidentially, hold up him and his activities before the Lord. Mm. And he and two or three other agents were Christians who wanted to do what they did Christianly and wanted prayer cover and wanted to know what the people providing prayer cover sensed the Lord saying. They wanted to hear from God about how to go about the business of being agents doing what it was they were doing and working on the cases they were working on. We can impact in unexpected ways, in unexpected areas, if we just network together. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. Doesn't mean they have to be gathered in a church or a house church. They can be gathered in a coffee shop with two or three other janitors talking about how to be a kingdom janitor. We want to provide a hub and a vision for the kingdom in every sphere of life.
I was quiet because that's great closing right there.
Well, Dave, why don't you close this time in prayer for us?
So, Lord, Don and I, representing the kingdom of God, but how you've given us the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. God, we yield to you. We yield the ministries that have been touched in the 22 podcasts that have gone out in 2016. We yield them to you, the lives, the thousands of downloads of the podcasts, the thousands of people who have been impacted by the message. We yield this people groups and churches and businesses and countries who have been impacted by this message. And we say, the kingdom of God is on the move. We declare that the kingdom of God is on the move. And Don and I, we yield to the Holy Spirit, and we say, have your way with us, God. Use us, use this message, place it right where you want it to be, so that our world experiences the incredible presence of Christ and the transforming power of the Spirit of God in the yielding to the good, pleasurable will of God the Father. We say, yes, yes, yes. God, raise up friends, sympathetic friends, to be convicted by the Spirit of God to give money. $1, $5, $6. Raise up friends, God, to give $1,000, $10,000. Raise up friends, Lord, that you have already designated and are speaking to right now. Raise them up to give. For there is no lack of finances in your kingdom. We ask you, Lord, to line up those people to give. We surrender that to you. All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and our King. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Amazed, Encouraged, and Blessed, a conversation with Dave Huizenga and DJ Swanger. This 2016 year-end episode of Marketplace Kingdom was recorded on December 15, 2016. Marketplace Kingdom and the Street Faith Podcast Channel are both productions of One Rock Strategic Media and are made available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2016 Creative Commons copyright. Be sure to like and follow Marketplace Kingdom online at www.onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. We encourage you to share our podcasts with your friends and connections. To financially support Marketplace Kingdom and the emerging Seven Mountain Alliance, or to sign up for our updates or learn how you can be more involved, email us today at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. Marketplace Kingdom will return on January 14, 2017. Until then, have a very blessed Christmas and a joyous New Year. And remember, you are important to Jesus and to his kingdom right where you are.